I'd like to convene the House Ways and Means Committee. Good morning to everyone. This meeting will be held in accordance with House Rule 10.01, which is posted online. We have a quorum present, and we will be covering this morning six bills. We do have a very tight timeline, so I would ask members on both sides of the aisle if they could respect that. As you know, the House is going to be convening at 5, and the committee reports have to be up there by 1 o'clock, and we do also have to provide time for the revisor's office to prepare the committee reports before that. So we do have a busy agenda, but I think we can make it through. Much of what we will have before us this morning has been before us in the past. So our first bill this morning will be one that I'm carrying, House File 14. So I would like to turn the chair over to our Vice Chair, Representative Olson.
Thank you, Chair Carlson. So as mentioned, the first bill on the agenda is House File 14, which was referred directly to this committee yesterday. So Chair Carlson, if you're ready, you can go ahead and move and present your bill.
Okay, Madam Chair, I'd move that House File 14 be recommended to be placed on the general register. And I also have an author's amendment as well. So I'll move the 0817 amendment.
Great. Would you like to describe the amendment as the bill? Should we attach the amendment and then do it as one?
Basically, the amendment members will be the bill. And this is the supplemental appropriations bill. And much of what is included in the amendment was presented and discussed in the amendment to Senate File 47 in last month's special session that was adopted in Ways and Means. It reflects a number of the governor's supplemental budget requests, but the number came down from roughly $168 million in last month's proposal to $58 million that's before you, and it includes $58 million in offsets in state agency funding to pay for it. So the amendment is balanced in that regard. In terms of the big picture and the appropriations, $7.2 million for the state patrol for their patrolling of highways and $1.3 million for capital security. And new is $4.6 million for the state patrol cost dealing with civil unrest deployment. $13.8 million in TANF for MFET benefits. That's $25.3 million for direct care treatment through DHS-funded programs and $13.1 million for PCA attendance. And there was a change in the compensation level, and Mr. Marks can perhaps comment on that if there are questions. $3 million for veterans suicide prevention and homeless prevention. $11.7 million for Department of Corrections staffing overtime. $3.1 million for the BCA sexual assault examination kits. $1.4 million for BCA crime lab. Also new is $750,000 for the Department of Human Rights investigation in the Minneapolis police. Also, in the bill is a $58 million agency operation budget reduction offset in new spending. And I know that's something that Mr. Franz, Commissioner Franz, has been working on, and can comment if there are questions about the offset. We have Representative Moran's bill is included. That was added last month. It's the foster care background checks, and we delay the establishment of the Public Employee Relations Board. That language was included in House File 108 in Special Session 1, and the state grant extension language, that's a bill of Representative Nelson carried as a separate bill during the first special session. So that's what's currently in the bill. Obviously, there are a number of things that are not included in the bill, being that we were at a higher level of a special session one at the 168 million. So with that, Madam Chair, I would be open to questions from committee members. And I would ask either the leads from the minority party or the chairs, if there are questions, to feel free to chime in about their relative part of the budget and or language in the bill. For example, there's rather extensive language on land purchases. We had that last time. I think if Representative Nelson is, or Hansen, excuse me, is present, or Representative Nelson, about that section of the bill that he's dealing with, they both can answer questions about that. I don't think either of those areas was particularly controversial, but if there are questions, they added, at least with Hansen's amendment last time, quite a bit of language to the bill. So with that, and then, Madam Chair, when I'm done, I neglected one thing. I wanted Mr. Marks to give us a spreadsheet update on a couple of the bills that are before us. So when we're done with this bill, perhaps we can revert back to Mr. Marks while you're still in the chair. Okay.
All right. Sounds good, Chair Carlson. So we do have some questions. So Representative Scott.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And I had some questions on the Department of Corrections funding. And let me try to get to the bill here. I know we're in a hurry. I've got the spreadsheet in front of me. Could you tell me in a little more detail, trying to find the language for that. Could you tell me in a little bit more detail about what those that appropriation is for specifically?
Chair Carlson.
Yeah, others can chime in. The largest amount there, if I recall, I think it's 9 million something, is for staffing and overtime. I think members are probably aware of some of the problems that they have had. For example, at Stillwater, attracting and retaining staff. So that would be the largest single amount in there. And we do have Mr. Franz present that can perhaps, I know he's been involved with these negotiations and can perhaps chime in with more detail if needed.
Through, Madam Chair.
Commissioner Franz, yeah.
Thank you. Yeah, I think, this has been an issue we've been working on for some time. And as you know, we tried to implement and did implement some hiring mechanisms to increase the capacity and the number of officers there in our correctional facilities, but been unable to really get to the levels we would like. And so a big chunk of this ask is for the overtime that goes with not being able to get the number of officers we would like. And so I think one of the keys here is to maintain a safe environment and do this payment for the overtime and staffing. That's the biggest component too, as Chair Carlson mentioned. I don't have the other details in front of me. I don't know if Budget Director Ray Tan has any of the more details besides the overtime and staffing issues.
And by the way, I might chime in. I said roughly 9 million. It's actually 11,742 for the overtime and staffing.
Yes.
The largest part. So strike my comment about 9 million plus, but at any rate, it is the largest component there.
Yes.
Madam Chair?
Representative Scott.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Is Commissioner Schnell on the call at all?
I don't believe so, no.
Okay, because my understanding is that the prison population is considerably down. It's down about 21%. The figures that I was given say that it's 2,069 fewer inmates today than we had 18 months ago. So I'm just wondering, you know, if this number of 11 point whatever million was based on the most recent numbers, and if somebody could get some clarification before we get this to the floor, I think that would be really helpful. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Commissioner Franz or Ms. Raton, I know, was asked to comment if she's here too.
Yeah, let me just, Madam Chair, Representative, let me just say that these numbers are based on the most recent analysis at the Department of Corrections. I think one of the key things that we need to note is that even though the numbers of the inmate population may fluctuate and go down at times, part of the request we have in the bonding bill is to make some ongoing repairs and maintenance at the corrections facilities, because these facilities are really old and they require more supervision than they would if we were able to make some of these changes and make some improvements to the security and some of the facilities. So we're boxed in a little bit by the nature of the facilities that we have. We can only do so much. And so the request here really is based on the most recent numbers. Even though there has been a decline in the population, we still need this amount of money for staffing and overtime. But we can get you more information, Representative, on that too.
Representative Scott.
That sounds fine.
Thank you. Chair Carlson.
When Representative Scott mentioned perhaps more information when the bill is on the floor later, assuming it passes this morning, I think we have to understand, too, that this bill is one that's a work in progress. So there will be continued work on some of the items in the bill as we move forward. So people can keep that in mind as well.
So further discussion to the amendment. Give a minute for folks on the phone, too, if they need to unmute. Okay, I'm not seeing any further discussion at this time, so if we could have everyone unmuted. And so in front of us, we have the A20-0817 amendment. So all those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 All those opposed, nay.
No.
The motion prevails and the amendment is adopted. Is there any further discussion on the HF-14 as amended? Seeing no further discussion, Chair Carlson, a few comments and then renew your motion.
Yes, I would thank members for their consideration. The bill reflects the work and input from both House and Senate majority and minority parties and the administration. And I would only point out, as I said earlier, that as the bill moves forward, it's a bill, it's a work in progress. So further discussion when the bill hits the floor, obviously it'll be much in order depending on discussions through the next few days. So with that, Madam Chair, I would renew my motion that House File 14, as amended, be recommended to be placed on the General Register.
So the motion is before us. Ms. Sparkman, can you take the roll?
Representative Carlson.
Aye.
Carlson, aye. Representative Olson.
Aye.
Olson, aye. Representative Garofalo. Representative Garofalo. Representative Albright. Representative Albright.
Aye.
Albright, aye. Representative Bernardi.
Aye.
Bernardi, aye. Representative Davids.
Aye.
Davids, aye. Representative Davney.
Davney, aye.
Davney, aye. Representative Driskowski.
No.
Driskowski, no. Representative Eklund. Representative Hamilton.
Aye.
Representative Hamilton, aye. Representative Hansen.
Hansen, aye.
Hansen, aye. Representative Hausman.
Aye.
Hausman, aye. Representative Hertas.
Hertas, aye.
Hertas, aye. Representative Hornstein.
Hornstein, aye.
Hornstein, aye. Representative Kreisha. Representative Kreisha. Representative Liebling.
Liebling, aye.
Liebling, aye. Representative Lilly.
Lilly, aye.
Lilly, aye. Representative Long.
Aye.
Long, aye. Representative Mariani, excused. Representative Marquardt.
Aye.
Marquardt, aye. Representative Nelson.
Nelson, aye.
Nelson, aye. Representative Noor.
Noor, aye.
Noor, aye. Representative Pawlowski. Representative Pawlowski.
Pawlowski, aye.
Pawlowski, aye. Representative Poppy.
Poppy, aye.
Poppy, aye. Representative Schumacher, excused. Representative Scott.
Aye.
Scott, aye. Representative Torkelson.
Torkelson, aye.
Torkelson, aye. Representative Vogel.
Vogel, aye.
Vogel, aye. Representative Wagenius.
Wagenius, aye.
Wagenius, aye. Representative Garofalo. Representative Eklund.
Eklund, aye.
Eklund, aye. Representative Kreisha.
Kreisha, aye.
Kreisha, aye. Representative Garofalo. That's 25 ayes and one nay.
Okay, on a vote of 25 to none, the motion prevails and House File 14 as amended is on its way to the House floor. And with that, per Chair Carlson's recommendation, we'll have Mr. Marks talk a bit about the spreadsheet as the spreadsheets that are in front of us. So, Mr. Marks.
Madam Chair and members, there was a spreadsheet for House File 14, which I believe you've had. There was one other spreadsheet I wanted to reference, and that one on the Ways and Means list is labeled Fiscal Staff Spreadsheet GF for General Fund Summary of House File 14 and House File 3. And this is an attempt to lay out general fund effect of the supplemental appropriations or supplemental budget bill, House File 14, that we just acted on, and the tax and capital budget proposals for House File 3 that we will be considering. And you can see the lines 1, 2, 3 there show the spending items or the totals for those particular parts of the bill. In House File 3, the amendment to House File 3, there's also a transfer from the premium security account of $100 million that's transferred into the general fund. So on line 6, the changes in those bills, there's a net impact to the general fund of $51 million in 2021, $317 million in 2022-23. And then lines 8 through 13 lay out another change that is not due to current legislation currently being considered, but as the footnote there relays, the FMAP, or the matching money for federal matching money for medical assistance, that rate for the third quarter of the year, or for the first quarter of the fiscal year, for the July, August, and September period, has now increased from 50% to 56.6%. In other words, the federal government is going to pay 6.6% more of medical assistance for those 3 months. That occurred because the two factors that basically make that automatically happen. One is that House File 105, enacted in the first special session, now Chapter 7 of Minnesota laws, made a number of changes that allowed this to happen. And then the other key thing was that the U.S. Secretary of Health and Human Services left an emergency declaration in place after July 1st, or into the third quarter of the calendar year. And that means that this higher FMAP rate is in place for the full third quarter. So the numbers on lines 8 through 13 show the effect of that. That line 8 is the additional federal money, and then there are additional costs associated with it as well that are shown on lines 9 through 12. The net effect of that, the FMAP change on line 13, is $83.3 million less of state spending in 2021. There's almost $10 million of increased state spending in 22-23 associated with it. So line 15 is summarizing the changes in House File 14, House File 3, and the FMAP. So a net effect on the general fund there of $32 million less of net cost in 2021, $328 million more in 22-23. So that's the perspective on that spreadsheet, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Mr. Marks. And Chair Carlson, do you want to take over at this point?
I can, I guess. Representative Liebling has a question. Representative Liebling.
Right, thank you. And this is for Mr. Marks. No, Mr. Marks, I think oftentimes members misunderstand what FMAP is, and I appreciate your explanation here, but I just want to make sure that it's really clear what we're doing, because, I certainly don't have any concerns about using money that becomes available for whatever important purpose members believe it should be used for. But sometimes members believe that when we get the federal match for Medicaid, or when it increases, or when we save money in Medicaid, even, that somehow these dollars fall into a fund that then becomes available for other things. And I just would like you to clarify. Well, let me just state my understanding. You tell me if my understanding is correct, and that is that essentially, what we're doing is, this is general fund money. This is money that comes off the bottom line, essentially, because what happens when we get increased federal match, as we have here, is it reduces the state share. But it's not money that's sent to us in a fund that can then be used for something else. It's really just reducing. It's saving us money on the bottom line, because we need to spend less state money for these purposes for which the federal government is giving us a match. So I just want to make sure that's very clear, as we appear to be using this extra money for some spending, that members don't start to believe that now there's a fund here that is available that somehow is not interacting with the surplus or deficit. Could you maybe state that better than I have, or tell me if I'm wrong?
Mr. Chair and Representative Liebling, you're correct. This and that's the purpose of the separate lines on the spreadsheet. Line 8 is essentially $259 million more of federal money coming into the state. In order for that to happen, the state has to spend the additional amounts that show up on lines 9, 10, 11, and 12. The net effect is that the general fund, because the on line 8, the 258 million additional FMAP means that the state spends that much less in medical assistance. It has to spend the other additional amount. So the net effect is that the general fund spends 83 million less with all these changes. But yes, it's simply an interaction with the general fund, and this change is occurring without any additional law changes. The changes in the bills we're currently discussing don't need to happen. This change is occurring because of what has already happened.
All right. Well, thank you very much.
Representative Torkelson.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm backtracking a bit, but I realize Mr. Marks is discussing both House File 3 and House File 14. House File 14 includes some spending from the Trunk Highway Fund, and I'd like Mr. Marks to just briefly go over the impact of that on the Trunk Highway Fund.
Mr. Marks, and we also have available Commissioner Margaret Anderson Kelleher, I think, is on if she wants to chime in on that question as well. Mr. Marks?
Mr. Chair and Representative Torkelson, I would just, it's lines 1 through 3, or 2 through 4 on this particular spreadsheet, and there are the three categories, the patrolling highways at 7.168 million, the commercial vehicles at 648,000, and then to the state patrol for the civil unrest deployment, and a portion of that goes to public safety and a portion of that to the Department of Transportation, but that's 4.6 million. If Commissioner Kelleher could comment more on the details of that if you'd like.
Commissioner Kelleher, are you with us?
I am, Chair Carlson. I hope you can hear me. So in as members may be aware, the Trunk Highway Fund is by both practice and law used for the State Highway Patrol as well as the Department of Transportation in the category of all things in supporting safety of our trunk highway system. So this is a continuation of the funding partial. This is one of the ways that the State Patrol is funded, a major way, and there is a two portions of this is my understanding in my work with DPS and certainly Commissioner Franz, if he has additional information, but is to both provide a salary supplement to the State Patrol as well as some needed funds in regard to the civil unrest from the Trunk Highway Fund that both State Patrol through DPS and the Department of Transportation incurred. And so that is why you're seeing this in this bill. Thank you, Representative Torkelson, for the question. It will, I think Representative Torkelson's other part of his question is, it does make the Trunk Highway Fund deficit a bit larger by doing this action. And both MnDOT has been working on solving for that projected Trunk Highway Fund deficit.
Okay, Representative Torkelson.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair. I guess I'd also appreciate a better understanding of the impact on the State Highway Patrol itself as far, because we've been in ongoing negotiations on their salary, and I don't think this impacts that directly, but I would like clarification on that if possible.
That may be a question for Commissioner Franz.
Yes. I think it is.
Yes, it is. This is Madam Chair and Representative. So this additional amount is to cure the current salary situation. It does not adjust the salaries going forward. So what we've tried to do here is respond to the needs of the Department of Public Safety, both through the general fund and in this particular case through the Trunk Highway Fund, to provide one of the things that happens often is in 24/7 operations and emergency operations like the Department of Public Safety, we have situations where the overtime and the deployment actually exceeds what we originally anticipated. So that's the situation here. So this is an ongoing a budget problem that we feel the need to solve. We have been, as you may know, negotiating directly with the Minnesota Law Enforcement Association and have reached a tentative agreement with them, and they are in the process of determining whether to vote for that tentative agreement or not. So this does not directly adjust the salary increase through bargaining.
Here, Representative Torkelson, was that it?
Just a concluding remark, Mr. Chair. This is an ongoing problem that we've been trying to deal with for quite some time. For those who are not familiar, we are losing trained state highway patrolmen to higher paying jobs in other parts of the state because our salary schedule is inadequate. I think this current situation reveals how dependent we are on the state patrol when emergencies come up. We need to take a better look at this. I hope perhaps we can address it in a better fashion, even in this special session. I know the Senate's doing some work on that particular issue. I believe Mr. Franz might have an additional comment.
I saw his up, Commissioner Franz.
Thank you, Madam Chair and Mr. Chair, and thank you, Representative. So one of the things that we've done is we agreed a need to come to an agreement with the our law enforcement friends and professionals, in addition to the negotiation that we've been doing directly with the MLEA, we have also agreed and will be selecting a vendor to do a compensation study this fall. One of the issues that we wanted to address, and we've done this in cooperation with the MLEA, is to select a vendor that would do a compensation study to compare the salary structure with the troopers and other law enforcement agencies around the state. And in addition, you may recall, too, Representative, that there was a bill provision passed in the last special session where the Office of Legislative Auditor will also be doing a study. So we have proposed some language that would allow those and give the MMB the authority to use those studies in our negotiations with the MLE going forward, which I think would be helpful because, as always, these situations are best based on fact and analysis. But I will say that I don't disagree that we need to make sure that we provide the right level of compensation, but I will say that the turnover rate in the for the troopers, for example, is about 2%, which is the lowest in any agency, and right now 9% is sort of the average turnover rate. So we don't want to lose anybody, don't get me wrong. I'm just saying that it's an issue like every bargaining unit, and we want to make sure that we address these issues specifically, and we're working with the Senate on some language to provide that these studies will be used in our negotiations going forward. Thank you.
Thank you. I'm going to recognize Representative Hornstein, and then I want to do or move forward to House File 3, which deals with the bonding, or it is the bonding bill. So Representative Hornstein.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chair. And I have a related question to Representative Torkelson's, but it is much more focused on House File 3 and some of the negotiations and back and forth between the House and Senate on the Trunk Highway Fund, specifically as it relates to some new spending for trunk highways. So, Mr. Chair, I don't know if this is the appropriate time to ask that question, or should we wait till the specific discussion on House File 3?
Why don't we move forward to House File 3, being that part of the discussion is relevant to that, so we get the capital investment bill before us.
I'll hold off then, Mr. Chair.
Yeah, if that's being that you referenced that, that would be my preference then. So let's go to House File 3. Thank you, Mr. Marks. And welcome, Representative Murphy, to the Ways and Means Committee. And Representative Olson, would you care to move the bill?
Sure. Mr. Chair, I move that House File 3 be recommended to be placed on the General Register.
Okay, the motion is before us, and there is an amendment. Representative Olson.
Sure. I will also move the A20-0818 amendment for the author.
Okay, that motion is before us. Any discussion on the amendment?
Mr. Chair, I think there's a couple technical amendments to that.
We should take those technical amendments first. Representative Olson.
So there are two technical amendments to the A20 amendment that we should do for the author. And so that's the A4 amendment to the A20-0818. And to Chair Murphy, perhaps.
Okay, Representative Murphy.
Mr. Chair, it's a technical, A4 is a technical amendment that we caught in the review.
Okay, any discussion? Seeing none, then all those in favor of the A4 technical amendment signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Motion carried. Representative Olson.
Mr. Chairman, before you move on, my apologies. I had my hand raised. I don't want to interrupt, but.
Oh, excuse me. Okay. Being that we were on a technical amendment, I forgot to look at the list. Representative Garofalo.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. What is the technical amendment?
Representative.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Murphy, he asked what was the technical amendment that we just voted on.
On page 74, after line 4, there's a final enactment date. This article is effective the day following final enactment. That was not in the bill and or in the amendment. And then on page 45, line 23, there was a number, an incorrect number, 600,000 should be 500,000.
Representative Garofalo, does that?
Mr. Chairman, that amendment was coded A4.
That's correct.
And this is the A4 amendment to the A20-0818 amendment?
That's correct.
Correct. Okay. Thank you very much.
Representative Olson, does that take care of the technical amendments?
There's one more, Mr. Chair, that I believe it's the A5. So it's the A5 amendment to the A20-0818 amendment. I believe Representative Marquardt was going to move that and explain it.
Okay. So... Representative Marquardt.
Very good. Thank you, Mr. Chair. I would like to move the A5 amendment to the A20-0818 amendment.
Okay, the motion is before us. Representative Marquardt.
So what that does is clarifies that the short-term rental portion of this bill does not include homestead property. So it adds one word, and that is non-homestead, to clarify that. So that was the agreement between the House and the Senate. The administration is fine with that. I talked to Senator Chamberlain last night, and he is fine with that. So that was the intent, is not to include homestead properties, and we need to include the word non-homestead to make sure that part is clarified. So I would ask member support.
Okay, the motion is before us. Representative Garofalo? Your hand was still up. Oh,
sorry, my bad.
Okay. Any discussion on the Marquardt amendment? Okay, seeing none, then all those in favor signify by saying aye. Aye.
Aye.
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. We now have... let's see, I'm just keeping track here of these amendments to the amendment. I think we're through the amendments to the amendment, are we not? Representative Murphy? I think we're ready.
Representative Carlson, this is Nancy.
Yes, we have another.
Representative Knorr has an amendment to the amendment, but that is, I'm not sure that's considered technical, so I don't know if you want to let Representative Murphy do it now or later.
We're trying to take care of the technical amendments, and so I think we're done with the technical amendments. So we have adopted the technical amendments. Or no, we have to adopt the Marquardt amendment. Oh, we did. We adopted the Marquardt amendment. So now...
and the DE3 amendment we have to adopt.
Yes, so as amended, yeah.
A20.
So, So the DE3 amendment as amended is before us. Any discussion?
Representative Carlson, this is Nancy again. I think it would be appropriate for Representative Murphy to explain what the amendment as amended is, because Representative Knorr's amendment still is to the DE amendment. So you can't do the DE amendment until you dispose of Representative Knorr's.
Okay, so Representative Murphy.
Okay, we're talking about the delete everything amendment, which is A200818, which is a different version of a conglomeration of bills that have been before you before. It is a jobs bill, a local projects bill, an emergency bill, and critical economic development legislation that had space in House File 2529, which we had, which is in Ways and Means from 2019. And then there has been a 2020 version of 2529, which came before this committee in May and did not pass out of committee. It did not pass the floor. I'm sorry. It did pass out of committee. It's a bonding bill. But as I said, it is a bill addressing immediate needs and emergencies in the state. It addresses local projects that we reviewed on 17 days of touring the state and meeting the people in their hometowns and listening to what the problems were in their regions and how they thought that their bills or their proposals of projects would strengthen the quality of life and Minnesota values in every single area of the state. This is, I don't know what edition of the spreadsheet this is. It's up into the 50s. We've been doing new proposals based on the things I've already mentioned, by the needs and wants and emergencies of the people of the state of Minnesota. And we're trying this way of addressing those at this particular time. And it will work. And it will put Minnesotans to work. It will strengthen our regions. And will address some emergencies. GeoPart came through an agreement with the House Republicans. First of all, you have to understand that it started out as a committee bill, the Capital Investment 2019-20 committee. Then after that, and after we were sent home, we continued our work through this method, virtual meetings and negotiations. I had negotiations for over 3 weeks with Representative Erdogan, and we came to a conclusion, a tentative agreement. Took that agreement into negotiations with over 3 weeks with Senator Sinjum in the Senate. And we came out with an agreement for $1.275 billion of GEO funds. That is this bill. Plus what was negotiated by the four leaders with appropriation bonds, cash, and the other things that you see on the spreadsheet, which is dated to my, I believe, 7/13/2020 at 12:02 p.m. And that's the spreadsheet that accompanies A200818. And that is what we have to decide on this morning.
Okay, and Representative Murphy, we do have one more amendment, and that's by Representative Knorr. If you're done, we'll take that amendment now. Representative Murphy?
Yes, that's fine.
Okay, Representative Knorr, would you care to move your amendment?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I would like to move A3 amendment to A20-0818. This is a small amendment to actually add homeownership as eligible for the housing infrastructure bonds. We all know that working families across the state need a stable, affordable entry-level homes. We have significantly underfunded homeownership at the state level. We all know that the inequities that exist in our state, when you look at homeownership across all sectors, this is something that many people have asked us. We all know that homeownership means stable neighborhoods, stable schools, stable workforce. It also builds wealth. So we have to do the right thing to ensure that we don't exclude homeownership from the use of housing infrastructure bonds. So, Mr. Chair, this is simply an addition to the uses of the housing infrastructure bonds, which we haven't put any financial amount or anything. It's just allowing homeownership to be included. And that's all we're doing. So I appreciate if you will support this amendment.
Okay, any discussion on the amendment? Representative.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Murphy.
I don't know a whole lot about this amendment or where it came from, except that I know it's been in discussion in the housing committee off and on. The bonding people never discussed this, and I wasn't aware of this amendment until late last night. And I haven't been able to talk to anybody about this amendment. So I would like some suggested information from the housing chair, Representative Hausman, on whether this is an idea that is wanted, and should there be a limit or up to a certain amount for home ownership? Because as Representative Hausman had said, will probably tell us that although this is the highest amount that has ever been suggested for home infrastructure bonding for houses, $100 million is short of what the groups that were working on housing, they were asking for over $400 million rather than $100 million. And if we turn, if we add this home, this home purchasing in this $100 million, will all the money go for the, could all the money go for individual homes rather than the kind of projects that she's talked about before this committee before, such as the rooming house idea where everyone in the area has a a bedroom and a bathroom, but there's common places for kitchens and so forth. So how does this fit in with the plans that the Housing Committee has recommended that we consider?
Mr. Chair? Mr. Chair?
I hear a voice. Representative Hoffman?
Yes. Yes, Representative Murphy has outlined all the complexity of this issue. Representative Noor did talk to me about this last night. We, of course, understand the argument is exactly right for the use of to expand this. We had always hoped that we would have $400 million instead of $100 million, making added uses easier. But the way Representative Noor drafted his amendment, he doesn't name any dollar amount. So it means in this transition, perhaps nothing would happen this first year. He just puts it in as an eligible use, but no expectation about any particular dollar amount. So I think for now, it would be an appropriate amendment to add and doesn't compete with other projects just because we don't say they must do some homeownership.
Okay, we do have two others that have indicated that they want to comment about the amendment, I assume. Representative Garofalo, is that on the amendment?
Yes, Mr. Chairman, thank you. If we could have nonpartisan staff in the amendment, it references Section 143 of the Internal Revenue Code. Can someone just provide a brief summary of what that means?
I'm not sure who that would be directed to. Is there someone available in the meeting that could answer that question? Representative Garofalo, I think maybe that's one that we'll have to wait on. I don't see anybody coming forward. Representative Drazkowski.
Mr. Chairman, if I could just follow up, my apologies.
We'd have to wait because we didn't have anybody online, but if you have further comment, go right ahead.
If perhaps Representative Hausman or the author of the amendment could explain what that portion of the amendment means. Again, I'm just looking at page one, lines 22. It says, finance the construction or rehabilitation of single-family homes. Houses that qualify for mortgage financing with the meaning of Section 143 of the Internal Revenue. And so if perhaps Chairman Hausman or Representative Noor could just, that seems to be the a substantial portion of the amendment, if there's someone who could just at least talk to that.
Representative Noor.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative Garofalo, I think this is in regards to the bonds, for the mortgage bonds. So I believe we do have the staff from House Research who can really explain that whole section. I don't know if Deb is available to answer that question. Deb Dyson, sorry.
Ms. Dyson.
Mr. Chair, Representative Noor, Representative Garofalo, I actually cannot explain. I don't know the IRC code or the Internal Revenue Code section reference. I'd have to look that up. So.
Okay, so Mr. Chairman, what I'm assuming is that this is basically language that would use MHFA funds to encourage home ownership as opposed to the current structure of MHFA, which tends to put the thumb on the scale for rental housing. Assuming that is the intent of this language, then I'll be supporting it. If it turns out that this Section 143 of the Internal Revenue Code references something else, then of course that'll have a different meaning and should be subject to change later. Thank you.
Representative Drazkowski.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm trying to understand this amendment as well. It appears that we are creating a new precedent here. We're creating a new qualification for the use of these monies. Do we have any precedent in law for taxpayers paying for personal homes for people?
Representative Houseman, do you have any thoughts on that as chair of the Housing Committee?
This is a new area, it would have been, if we had had a traditional session, we would have probably had a hearing on this, because this is, there are a group of people who've been working on establishing this new use for some time, but we really didn't ever, this would have been one of those bills that we would have heard in committee had we had a traditional session, which we did not, and so it hasn't gone through the normal process of conversation.
Mr. Chair, yes. If I could I jump in on that question?
Representative Liebling.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So actually, maybe I even ask Representative Marquardt to answer, because taxpayers pay a ton of home ownership through mortgage interest deductions. This is something that it's like a hidden subsidy, but it's enormous. And so I don't know the merits of Representative Knorr's bill. I'm not jumping in on that. This is kind of not my area, but you know, let's not, that's just an amazing question to me from Representative Drazkowski, because yes, there's total precedent for this. I mean, it's just absolutely enormous. And so I think maybe part of where Representative Knorr is coming from is that, you know, people who are not able to be in the housing market don't get to benefit from this enormous taxpayer subsidy, and they are left out. And this is part of why we have this enormous racial inequality. It's part of this inability to build wealth, which we tend to think, oh, I'm a homeowner, I did it all myself. No, you didn't. You did it with enormous subsidies from the taxpayer. So if I know that we have Representative Marquardt has much more expertise. I don't know if he's prepared to speak to this, but I just couldn't help but throw that in. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Well, I might chime in to some degree. I'm old enough. My father was a World War II vet, and were various ways to help people purchase a home as part of the benefits of having served during World War II. Special interest rates, nothing down. There were various options available to the vets. Representative Skowski, you still have the floor. I don't know if that answers.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. It really does up the discussions interesting, and of course I expected nothing less, Representative Liebling, than trying to equate this to those deductions. This is actually the government taking taxpayer money from people and then turning around, or in this case, borrowing money, and then taking taxpayer money to pay for that borrowed money. But in the meantime, doing direct infusions of money to selected individual homeowners, the way it looks to me. I'm just curious, Mr. Chair, maybe Representative Murphy has the answer as to whether this amendment was part of the agreement with the Senate, because this is a significant policy direction change that I suspect the Senate might not be in concurrence with.
Representative Murphy.
Mr. Chair, I was not part of the agreement with the Senate, and we did not talk about housing at all with the Senate. We talked about GO bonds only. And this comes from house infrastructure bonding and appropriation bonds for housing. Like I said, I don't know about this. I didn't know about this at this time. And I think if it goes on in this committee, then it could also come out on the floor if we find in subsequent days where it's sitting and we get more input from people that know a lot more about housing than I do. It could come out, and I would hope that Representative Knorr would be willing to consider that at that time if we have a massive advice on whether this should be part of the law or not.
Mr. Chair?
I hear a voice.
But, Mr. Chair, Draskowski.
Representative Draskowski, okay.
Thank you, and thank you, Representative Murphy. I think you're onto something there. I think the Senate will have large reservations with this. I don't know how large, but I suspect they'd be large amongst their members. Just wondering, or actually would like to request a roll call on the amendment, Mr. Chair. Thank you.
The roll call is requested. Representative Dabney.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I want to thank Representative Knorr for bringing this amendment forward and urge its adoption by members. Representative Liebling touched on Representative Draskowski's question about subsidizing home ownership, but she, while she was right, she wasn't complete in how taxpayers subsidize home ownership. The mortgage interest deduction is a significant way that homeowners benefit. We subsidize roads to new developments rather than asking those new home developments to pay for the cost of the new roads. We subsidize water infrastructure to serve those new developments rather than asking the developments and the homeowners there to pay the cost of their own water service. We allow every year mortgage owners to deduct the real estate taxes, or homeowners to deduct the real estate taxes that they pay from their taxes. These are all ways that we subsidize home ownership in the state through tax dollars. The chair was good enough to bring up the VA loan program after World War II. Chair has a couple of miles on me, but not as many as, not enough to not also have a father who was a World War II vet who, when he returned and married my mother, was able to get a VA loan for a nice little house in the suburbs. And I'd remind members that people of color were not allowed VA loans, even though they were veterans who had served this country as admirably as any of their white peers in the military. So we have built a infrastructure in the state and nation that makes home ownership available to some, subsidized by all, and much more difficult to achieve by others. This inclusion of home ownership as a possible use of these funds is an important part of ensuring that we have a spectrum of opportunities for housing for Minnesotans across income and across race. We do have the largest gap in home ownership between African-American community and the white community in the nation. And while these funds are not earmarked for any one racial or ethnic group, I think making home ownership more available to people benefits all of us and hopefully can go to helping close that racial gap. I think any other act on our part would be very telling. With that, Representative Knorr, thank you for the amendment, and I urge its adoption. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
What I'm going to do, as I mentioned at the beginning,
Mr. Chair, I don't know if you've seen my raise of hands.
I haven't seen your hand, but I was just, if I could complete my comments, I was going to say that I was going to ask the two relevant chairs to comment before we vote, but I do have Representative Hertas and Mariani with their hands up, and then I'll call on Representative Hausman and Representative Murphy for advice to the committee, and then we're going to vote because we do have that tight timeline, so people could be brief. Representative Hertas.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And there's little to disagree with regarding Representative Noor's comments about what home ownership does in terms of creating stable housing and stable communities, and it's good. This is an area that I've spent my life in, and there's been quite a few comments made just of recent that I just wanted to address. First of all, yes, there are those public policies that incent home ownership through mortgage interest deductions. We also help people who are not homeowners with the property tax refund or the renter's credit through our Minnesota system. We also have comments made with regard to the development community. And I just want to make it categorically clear, as a developer, no, the streets are not subsidized when we plat and create a neighborhood. They're paid completely for by the developer and dedicated to the community thereafter. That is, of course, built into the cost of a lot, that the streets and the lateral infrastructure that is paid for by the developer is included in those lot prices. So, yes, there are arterial roads, county roads, collector streets and whatnot that sometimes need to be expanded as a result of development. But that is simply, you know, not the case with regard to the development community having their stuff subsidized. Furthermore, the infrastructure with regard to those homes are served by what are known as enterprise funds. That's your monthly water bill and your sewer bill. And those things are usually segregate from city budgets in that those are self-funding with regards to long-term maintenance. So that is something that I wanted to bring up with regard to the issue of housing. And we have had in the past, and I think we still continue, Rep. Hausman probably is knowledgeable about this, but we have had programs for first-time homebuyer money, which is helping people gain access to owning a home. And I think just to close, it's important when we're concerned about affordability and housing affordability that when we move forward as a legislature, we consider everything that we have endorsed or helped or supported with regard to the cost of housing legislatively. We continue to drive up the price of housing at the local level and even at the state level by issuing mandates of what must be included in the mousetrap, building a better mousetrap. And inherently, there's special interest that is always involved, whether it's fire sprinklered homes or air exchangers or the level of codes that basically add more cost to the home. All of these things make a difference. And, you know, things have changed a lot, even since 2000. You could buy a lot in Brooklyn Park, for example, a second suburban ring. In 2000, you could buy a lot for less than $50,000. Today, it's triple that. And so a lot of it has to do with the regulatory process, and we should all have our eyes open with regard to the cost of housing when we take up issues on the floor that start to increase housing, because it doesn't just end with cost. It has to be return on investment. Then there is additional percent multipliers that go on in the closing transaction, whether it's mortgage registration tax, state deed tax, a number of other factors, sales commissions, all of it has a multiplier effect of driving up exponentially the price of housing. So things have changed a lot during my career. I was selling homes in suburban Plymouth for complete for $89,900, you know, curb and gutter, city street. You couldn't buy a lot in Plymouth for under $200,000 today. So that's just the realities of the marketplace, but we should do better in to encourage home ownership. And I agree with Mr. Noor that home ownership is good for the community. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Okay. Again, I'm asking people to be brief. It's not that people aren't saying important things, but we do have an agenda that's before us that's pretty ambitious.
If I could, Mr. Chair, I have some advice from the department that might help us in the conversation right now.
I was going to you after Mariani, but if it's important right now, Representative Hausman, I was going to ask.
Yes. While we have been in this conversation, I've been hearing from Homes for All and the department and the governor's office. The Ryan Baumtrog from the department specifically called me to say there is something in the tax bill for this very purpose. And so I suppose that's the dilemma with bringing an amendment to a negotiated agreement in committee. And Representative Knorr, my advice to you, the department would like to work with you before we get this to the floor to help you understand what's in the tax bill for this very purpose. So I don't know if you would be willing at this point to withdraw the amendment until the department has an opportunity to have a conversation with you about the tax bill.
Representative Knorr.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm willing to take that suggestion.
Yeah, the question.
Mr. Chair, I'll take that as way looking forward to ensuring that home ownership is included. And I know this is an important issue. We cannot only be looking for those who are, you know, within the system, those who are well connected, those who can advocate themselves to get what they really want out of this. This is more about building that inclusive system. So if this is going to solve the problems that we're looking at, if this is going to provide the opportunity to so many people across the state, yes, I'm willing to withdraw, but I can assure you that this is going to be a discussion that we will continue to have. I know many people see as a handout to people when we're talking about, you know, in the big constructions, those who are within the system, we don't see that. You know, when we give people big tax deductions, we don't see that. But I think when we're trying to help the regular people on the main streets, we tend to forget about them. And this is something we have seen repeatedly over and over again. So with that, Mr. Chair, I don't know if Representative Mariani wanted to give some few inputs before I withdraw the amendment. I know he has been raising his hand, but I will entertain the request to withdraw at this point.
Okay, there's more than one hand that's up, but if the amendment is withdrawn, I would just as soon move on. But I did reference Representative Mariani before Representative Hausman spoke. And then we'll view that the amendment is no longer before us, but with the understanding that there will be continued work with the Housing Finance Agency, and I think our two chairs, and perhaps even with the discussions relative to the bonding bill with the Senate. So with that, Representative Mariani, are your comments still necessary in the amendments being withdrawn?
Mr. Chair, I'll try to be brief. I think what I heard from Representative Knorr is that he wanted to hear some comments that he would entertain withdrawing it, so we should get clarity from him. But let me just say very quickly, the tax bill provision is a $4 million provision. Representative Knorr is looking for something much more meaningful, quite frankly, than that. And, you know, if it turns out that that's the issue, we can always pull this off on the floor. But missing an opportunity here would not be good. Let me just say, you know, in addition to everything everybody talked about, breaking the cycle of the need for subsidized rental homes, because we're caught in that cycle, one way to do that is to get people into their own homes. And there actually are, to Representative Joskowski's question, it actually was a good question. There are ways in which you can do that, which maintains the integrity of the public purpose for public bonds. One of the ways you do that, I know because I was the chief author back in the 90s on this, is through a land trust program, where the land upon which the residence is held or resides or rests on is held by a local public entity. That then would fulfill the appropriate requirements about public purpose for bond. So the owner owns the residence. Itself has home ownership, obviously doesn't have as much equity as another owner, but we're talking about low-income folks able to get into their homes and not continuing to feed this, you know, expensive need to keep building, you know, multi-unit units. The land that is coveted over a very long period of time, I think typically 99 years, to be held in trust. So easily meets the public purpose. The point is, members, that there are creative ways in which this indeed can be done without even all the other issues that we talked about, that maintains a pure integrity of bonding for public property itself. I think those are the kind of creative possibilities that Representative Knorr is really urging and pushing, you know, for our housing public sector to really be about. You know, there are GOP supporters for this provision. Some of the advocates have had some very good conversations throughout this session with majority leaders over in the Senate. So I wouldn't automatically think that this is going to be a partisan issue at all. I think there's strong GOP interest, just as there is strong DFL interest, in really trying to break the cycle of getting people into properties that they own, at least the residencies, as opposed to continuing to feed this very expensive multi-unit enterprise, which is needed, but we should use every tool before us. So I would really encourage Representative Knorr to go forward with his amendment. If there's new stuff that arises, we can pull it off on the floor of the House. But if you pull it now, we're not going to have this conversation.
Representative Knorr, I interpreted your earlier comments that you were withdrawing the amendment. Representative Mariani, at the beginning of his comments, asked for clarity. Is the amendment withdrawn?
Mr. Chair, I think that clarity was presented by Carlos Mariani. I said if we listen to him, because he's been involved in this issue for a long, long time, I think I will take that advice, as we need to have the conversation. This amendment, I think for now, I will really urge you to support it so we can continue to have the conversation, look through the details, and if there's anything that presented that we can actually address the homeownership, then that's a different discussion. I think at this point, based on the conversations we're having with Carlos Mariani's input, let's have that in the bill, and let's look forward, and I'm willing to withdraw it at a different time. So let's vote on this amendment, members, and let's have that conversation before the bill comes to the floor.
Okay, members, I indicated at the beginning we're on a very tight timeline. The House rule is that the committee reports have to be filed by 1 o'clock. We're going into session at 5. This amendment we've spent a lot of time on already, and a number of hands have gone up. The amendment is not withdrawn. I did say that I would like to have final comments by the two relevant chairs, Representative Murphy and Representative Houseman, before we vote. Are the hands that are up absolutely necessary to contribute to the dialogue, considering our timeline? That would be Representative Garofalo, Keisha, and then I was going to represent Houseman. Representative Garofalo, if you've got comments, if you could be brief.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I appreciate that we're interested in brevity, but I mean, these are DFL amendments that are being brought forward on DFL bills, and they're DFL members talking. So I hope you understand that. I share your goal of getting things done in a hurry, but let's make sure people are being allowed to talk.
I wasn't thinking about either side of the aisle, Representative Garofalo. I was just interested in the timeline. Representative Garofalo.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. In case anyone participating in this discussion cares about things like facts or data, people should know that the home mortgage interest deduction, that's something that was relevant in the past. It's no longer relevant. Over 90% of American taxpayers now file with a standard deduction, so the itemized deductions don't matter. The second point is that all this discussion that's going on today, these amendments are on a bill that does not have the prerequisite votes needed to pass on the House floor. So I heard people use the term negotiated agreement. I just want to wave my hands and remind the House DFL that there are non-DFL members in the House of Representatives, and you need our votes to pass this bill, and we're not voting for it because you continue to refuse to negotiate with us. So you can have these John Adams debating society talking points as long as you want, but you don't have the votes to pass this bill, and just a friendly reminder of that. Thank you.
Representative Crenshaw.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and I echo what Representative Garofalo said, and I would just bring up, Representative Knorr, you have something here, and in my short time at the legislature, I've learned you never go backwards, you always go forward, and I'm glad Representative Mariani stated his support that we should vote on this and keep it on, because we can work on that at a later date, and I just want to make sure that we're absolutely clear that this amendment is going to be voted on, and Mr. Chair, if in fact, and I do not believe Representative Knorr is withdrawing it, but I want to make sure that we're clear, if that was withdrawn, I would support offering your amendment, Representative Knorr, to keep it moving. But I believe it's moving, and I look forward to voting on that.
He clarified that the amendment is still before us. He hasn't technically withdrawn it, so that's the situation. And I would like to hear concluding comments from the two relevant chairs, Representative Houseman and then Representative Murphy, and then we'll vote. Representative Houseman.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I've been getting a steady stream. If we were in a committee room, there would probably be some people coming forward to the testifier table to make some clarifying comments, because there's a lot of confusion over this from the people who are listening. And I'm getting messages like, FYI, land trusts are already an eligible use, the land anyway. So the dilemma with an amendment like this at this particular time, the timing is just wrong. But what I know will happen after this meeting is Representative Knorr will sit down with the department and others to clarify what's intended here and how that will relate to what's in the tax bill. So just always a confusing way to add to a bill, I think. But just so that you know, there are a number of people who are observing some complications with it.
Representative Murphy.
I'm not on the committee, Mr. Chair, but if I was on the committee, I would vote yes.
Okay. You are the author of the bill, however, so your input is not.
As I said 20 minutes ago or so, that if it's on the bill and we find that it is not going to be workable, we can take it off when it comes to the floor.
Okay. So those are the concluding comments. The clerk will take the roll.
Representative Carlson?
Aye.
Carlson, aye. Representative Olson?
Aye.
Olson, aye. Representative Garofalo?
Aye.
Garofalo, aye. Representative Albright?
Aye.
Albright, aye. Representative Bernardi?
She has her thumbs up and aye.
Bernardi, aye. Representative Davids? Representative Davids?
Aye.
Davids, aye.
Aye.
Representative Dabney?
Dabney, aye.
Dabney, aye. Representative Drazkowski?
No.
Drazkowski, no. Representative Eklund?
Eklund, aye.
Eklund, aye. Representative Hamilton?
Hamilton, aye.
Hamilton,
aye.
Hamilton, aye. Representative Hansen?
Hansen, aye.
Hansen, aye. Representative Houseman?
Aye.
Houseman, aye. Representative Hertas?
Hertas, aye.
Hertas, aye. Representative Hornstein?
Hornstein, aye.
Hornstein, aye. Representative Crescia?
Crescia, aye.
Crescia, aye. Representative Liebling?
Liebling, aye.
Liebling, aye. Representative Lilly?
Lilly, aye.
Lilly, aye. Representative Long?
Aye.
Long, aye. Representative Mariani?
Mariani, aye.
Mariani, aye. Representative Marquardt?
Marquardt, aye.
Marquardt, aye. Representative Nelson?
Aye.
Nelson, aye. Representative Noor?
Aye.
Noor, aye. Representative Pawlowski?
Pawlowski, aye.
Pawlowski, aye. Representative Poppy? Representative Poppy?
Poppy, aye.
Poppy, aye. Representative Schumacher, excused. Representative Scott?
Aye.
Scott, aye. Representative Torkelson?
Torkelson, aye.
Torkelson, aye. Representative Vogel?
Aye.
Vogel, aye. Representative Wagenius?
Aye.
Wagenius, aye. 27 ayes, 1 nay.
Okay, the motion prevails. The amendment is adopted. Any further discussion then on the amendment as amended? Seeing none then, all those in favor signify by saying aye. Aye.
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. If we could have some concluding comments, we haven't heard much from Representative Marquardt yet. But Representative Marquardt and Representative Murphy, if you'd care to comment in conclusion about the bill before we vote. Representative Marquardt.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair. And
I need a number.
Thank you, Mr. Chairs. So, members, the tax portion of this amendment does very much what the bonding portion of the bill does. It involves local projects and also provides critical economic investments and will boost a very fragile economy. And that's what this tax portion of this amendment will do. I'm going to just briefly kind of go over the provisions, but the biggest part that has been agreed upon between the Republican-controlled Senate and a Democratic-controlled House, the biggest part is the full conformity to full Section 179 expensing. And one of the things, the first bill we heard in tax committee this year in the House dealt with something that involves like-kind exchanges. Back in 2017, when the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act was passed by the federal government, they said on like-kind exchanges, that's where if you were to trade in a piece of equipment and buy a new one, that before the trade-in value, so if you bought a new tractor for $200,000 and traded in the old one for $100,000, before the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act, you would not have to recognize that $100,000 that you got on the trade-in. After that tax bill, now you had to recognize that. So you now have to recognize $100,000. Well, that started for tax years 2018. And so the federal government, they did full Section 179 expensing. So even though you had to recognize $100,000 gain, you also got to deduct and depreciate all in the first year the $200,000. So you did not have an extra cost. In fact, you would see a benefit. Well, last year, we did a lot of things in conformity and did a lot of things in a tax bill. Kind of one thing that was not kind of finished was full conformity to Section 179. And so what happened this year is that farmers and small businesses saw the gain from the like-kind exchange, but because Minnesota only allowed a deduction of 20% basically in the first year, the gain was greater than the depreciation or the deduction. And you found out that some small businesses and farmers got this bill for 2018 and 2019. They did what they thought was right under the current laws, but then because of the nonconformity, it created a problem. So this has been kind of the number one goal was to solve this year. This bill solves that because what it does now is that on the like-kind exchanges, going backwards, the 2018 and 2019 tax years, you will have full Section 179 conformity. So now for 2018 and 2019, small businesses and farmers will get the same treatment as they do now under federal law. So what this does, Section 179 will only apply retroactively 2018 and 2019 to the like-kind exchanges. But moving forward, tax year 2020 and beyond, full conformity to Section 179 will apply to all of those purchases of equipment and so forth. And so this will provide significant benefit to farmers and small businesses around the state. And this has been a number one goal from a lot of members throughout the state, is to get this Section 179 full conformity completed. And this bill and this amendment will do that. And it's been many, many years where efforts have been tried to get this done, and we are now very close to being able to do that. So basically, $90 million out of the $99 million cost of this bill in this biennium is the conformity to Section 179. So other areas of the bill I'll just go over kind of briefly is the student loan credit now is refundable. This makes it refundable. So while the payments on those loans have been suspended, they're going to come back. And with a slow economy, you got people who, if it's not refundable, they're not going to get as much on this credit. By making it refundable, they will, even though they're not making much income because of the economy, this will really benefit those students and other people paying those loans. There's also a reduction in the combined net receipts tax, and this is for poll tabs, electronic poll tabs, and so forth. This will allow these organizations to have more money in their pocket to give out to various areas on contributions and various charities and so forth. Something that was talked about earlier is there is a $4 million transfer from the mortgage registry and deed tax that would go into workforce and affordable housing. So the way that would work is there'd be a home ownership development account that would be established in the housing finance agency, and $4 million from that mortgage registry and deed tax would be transferred each year, and that would be for 10 years. So it's for workforce and affordable housing, and it would be for grants and loans. Some of the other things in the bill is there's sales tax exemptions, refundable exemptions for public safety facilities. There's a number of those there. There's a proportion that would enhance school equalization aid on operating referendums that would get out to more lower tax-based school districts. There's some fixes in the bill. A school fundraising fix that will help groups. The short-term rental, that was kind of a big one. What's agreed upon is that if you have a rental now, four units or less than four units, and you rent it for more than 14 days, it would move into a 4B classification at 1.25%. The partnership question has been answered here. I know that's a little bit of inside baseball, but in 2015, the federal government decided, for the most part, to start kind of auditing partnerships at the partnership level rather than just the partner level. And so this is, I think this is language that has been agreed to by all of the groups now, and a lot of work was done on that. Just a couple other items in it. There is a portion in here that we have a property tax exemption for disabled veterans. If you're 100% disabled, you have a $300,000 exemption from property market value. If you're 70%, it is $150,000. And what this allows is that a spouse, a surviving spouse of a deceased veteran, would be able to make one move out of that current house as long as it's of less value. and still maintain the credit. Right now, a spouse of a deceased veteran maintains that credit, but they have to stay in the house. This would allow them one transfer into another home of lesser value. And then there's also something that some volunteer drivers were being taxed for reimbursements over a certain amount, and this would allow a subtraction for those folks. So that's kind of the main provisions in this bill, but it does address a major area, and this would be very beneficial to our economy, right? When we need a real boost, this would give our very fragile economy a boost with a lot of the provisions that are in this bill. So I'm open to any questions, Mr. Chair.
And I'm going to, there's two hands that are up, and one I'm going to recognize Representative Hornstein first. I don't think his question or comment is on the tax provision, but I asked him when Mr. Marks was doing his presentation to wait for this bill. So thank you for waiting, Representative Hornstein. You have the floor.
Well, thank you very much, Mr. Chair. And as I referenced earlier, I did want to raise an issue around trunk highway bonds in the bill. And perhaps maybe the commissioner, I know that she was on earlier, if she's still on, I would just have a question for her about it. You know, my concern is that when we originally passed the bill, we had $100 million in trunk highway bonds. That's up to $300 million now. Including $84 million for state highway construction and then a new project development fund of $25 million. And so my concern, Mr. Chair, is that while I'm pleased that at least these projects, my understanding, are shovel ready, I think the Senate bill originally did not have had trunk highway bonds for projects that were not even shovel ready, so we couldn't even get the construction going and create the jobs and all the things, goals that we have in this bill for infrastructure. So at least that's positive. But my concern is that, as Representative Torkelson had referenced earlier, we do have some pressure on the trunk highway fund. And it's kind of akin to a credit card that we've maxed out on. And I think this will add some additional pressure to the fund. And I think without new revenue, we could really be facing some long-term problems here as we try to issue trunk highway bonds. So perhaps if the commissioner could address that question, I would appreciate it.
Commissioner Kelleher, are you still with us?
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you, Representative Hornstein. I'd be remiss if I didn't first say thank you to Chair Murphy and her staff for all the work that's been done on this bill already, and to the Senate members who have participated in the conversations around the bill. Chair Hornstein is correct, Mr. Chairman and members, that this bill does build pressure on the Trunk Highway Fund. To put it in context, there's over $623 million of funds that will go either to local roads and bridges or to the trunk highway system. That is a very good thing in the bill. What it does do, though, is it does increase the pressure on the trunk highway fund. We have an internal debt policy that was actually a legislative directive a number of years ago to set a reasonable debt policy. It means that when you're out buying your gasoline or buying your car, what happens is when that's deposited into the trunk highway fund, MnDOT pays the debt service on any debt that is issued that's trunk highway debt. So it's a little different than the rest of this bill in the sense that MnDOT takes on that obligation. Our limit is 20%, and that is deemed as our reasonable amount. This bill, with the additional spending in the trunk highway fund, will put us at 17.7% in the fiscal year 2025. And so Chair Hornstein, and I know that Representative Torkelson is also concerned about this, that what that means is we do need to pay attention to sustainable transportation funding in the future. to be able to relieve that debt pressure so that we can get to these important projects that many members have wanted. And Chair Hornstein is also correct. We have worked very hard with Chair Murphy, with the Senate, to make sure that these projects are as shovel ready as possible. So they are out in your communities and getting the work done and putting people back to work. We also have an innovation in this bill, which is the Project Development Fund, which will also help MnDOT be able to ready a number of important projects into the future that can, as we call it, the shelf of projects, be ready to go for a future funding. Thank you for the question.
Representative Bernstein.
Yeah, and Mr. Chair, just to quickly conclude, and thank you, Commissioner, and I really appreciate your work, particularly in, making sure that the types of projects that are included are ones that will be available and ready to go. The original Senate bill did not have that, and so that's an improvement. And I also want to thank Chair Murphy. Chair Murphy has been very consistent on this, and I think she understands also the concerns that we have about the trunk highway fund, and I think that's why we had I think a more reasonable number in the original House bill. But I understand why these numbers have gone up, and I again appreciate the work of Chair Murphy and Commissioner Anderson Kelleher and. At least putting some guardrails on this new spending. So, with that, Mr. Chair, I just wanted to, have my concerns on the record. And again, since we do have some projects that are ready to go, create jobs, make a difference in communities, I can support it. But I think we really have to be very aware of the long-term impacts of this kind of trunk highway spending.
Okay, thank you, Representative Hornstein. Representative Torkelson?
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair. Number one, House Republicans had zero input into the final negotiation of these trunk highway bonds, or the entire bill for that matter. But I'm just going to focus on the trunk highway bonds because it's an area I'm very concerned about. I've had very little time to digest just what this agreement really means. This particular fund that I have the first question about would be the Project Development Fund. I don't know what that is. I don't know that we've had it in the past. I don't know how it's going to work. I don't know how projects are going to be selected. It raises a lot of questions in my mind. I would like at least some clarification at this point. If you expect any Republicans to vote for this bill, we would appreciate at least understanding what the heck is in it.
Mr. Chair,
are you directing that question at the commissioner?
Mr. Chair, it's hard for me to direct a question when I have no idea what kind of an answer I expect and from whom I might get it. So I guess it's up to you, Mr. Chair, but I suggest that perhaps the commissioner may be your best
choice. Well, perhaps that would be my take, but I wasn't sure if you were directing it in another direction. Commissioner Kelleher?
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you, Representative Torkelson. So, yes, this is new language for a capital investment bill of a project development fund. These are projects that are not yet in our programmed 4-year or 10-year program. Those are often referred to as the STIP and the CHIP, the State Transportation Investment Plan, and the Capital Highway Improvement Plan. The markers for how these projects will be selected is actually the MNCHIP program. That program is not specific to project, but is categorical in nature. So it looks at things like economic opportunity, economic development in an area as a way to identify those projects. And so it's tied back to MNCHIP, which is a statutory program, which both helps us in terms of making sure that we are following and having conversations with communities on the trunk highway system. There is $25 million in that line item. And what I would say about that is the project development costs on many of the projects that you all hear about, that lots of times MnDOT tells you, we are not ready to go on that project. needs usually somewhere between 12 and 15% of the project into development work. That means environmental, that means readying the project to get it ready to be shovel ready. That's been one of the debates I think we're all aware of with the Senate on transportation. Is the Senate has often been interested in earmarking projects. This is not an earmark. This is a project development fund that will allow us to get a number of new projects ready to go to then have them go through the processes that we need to do for a project. And I think members have a lot of needs out there. I know that from talking to many of the House members and many of the Senate members. These are all worthy projects, that I want to say. But sometimes the projects are not ready. And in order to not tie up critical bond capacity, the Project Development Fund is an innovation to be able to develop those projects. Chair Torkelson or Representative Torkelson, I don't know if that helps. Mr. Chairman?
Representative Torkelson?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you, Commissioner, for that clarification, for lack of a better term. So who's going to select these projects? You know, the bottom line here seems to be a legislative input. Is this supposed to be an answer to gaining legislative input? Am I going to get my own little wish list where I can select some projects, or how is this going to work?
Commissioner?
Mr. Chair and members, you will be in the next, hopefully today, seeing a letter that will outline some of the examples of projects that could be funded through a project development fund and be able to be readied for shovel-ready construction into the future. Many of those projects are at various points along even getting ready for development. So an example is anything in the metropolitan area, we need to work with our partners at the Metropolitan Council to make sure that those projects are in the transportation investment plan of the Metropolitan Council. So a number, you'll see some listed that are not in that category yet, and we need to work with our partners at Met Council to do that. It does say, the language says that it is in consultation with the Commissioner of MMB and the Commissioner of Transportation, currently myself, but certainly if this is something that works as a program, that's going to go on into the future. So the Commissioner's office would have a role to play in the selection of those project development programs.
Representative Torkelson.
Well, Mr. Chair, I will try not to belabor this. Perhaps instead of calling it earmarking, we should call it ear piercing.
I assume that's your concluding comment, Representative Torkelson. Representative Hertaus, I think we're going
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I was wondering if, after listening to Representative Marquardt's presentation, if Representative Davids could yield for a question.
Representative Davids is next on my list, but if you want to ask him a question now, fine. Representative Davids, are you live?
I'm here.
I was going to recognize you and ask next, but Representative Hertaus has a question of you.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And Representative Davids, you've been in the legislature among some of the most senior members. I've served 8 years. I've served on tax committee when you were chair. I don't recall ever seeing a tax bill or a tax provision being put into the bonding bill. Have you had any experience in your years here that the tax bills are put into a bonding bill? I think this violates the single subject clause. Chair Davids.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I do not recall that, Representative Hertaus, that that's been done. And when it comes to me for the questions, I'm going to be asking House Research if bonds could even be sold since this is becoming a garbage bill by the second. I believe that a bonding bill has to be single subject, and it cannot have all these other issues involved. But that's a question I'll be asking here, too. Have I seen it? I don't recall it. But I think we know what's really going on here, but we'll let it play out.
Okay, Representative Hertaus, does that answer your question?
Yeah, that did. Thank you, Mr. Chair, and I'll yield to Chair Davids next.
Okay, Representative Davids, maybe those were your comments, but did you have anything to add?
Oh, I've got a lot to add. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. First of all, clearly we're violating the single subject rule. Can we have someone from House Research comment if we can sell bonds on a bonding bill that has been loaded up with items that don't apply?
Trying to think of who the best source for that question would be. Anybody want to come forward from House Research or from our fiscal staff, nonpartisan?
Mr. Chair, this is Colby with House Research.
Mr. Sullivan?
Yeah, I think to Representative David's question, ultimately bond counsel for the state of Minnesota will have to make a determination about the saleability of the bonds. What comes to mind is the appropriation bonds that were issued to raise funding for the Minnesota Senate building. And that bond authorization, I believe, was included in the tax bill, the omnibus tax bill in 2014, maybe 2013. So that's the precedent that comes to mind, but ultimately a bond council will need to make a determination.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, sir. And Mr. Chairman, is there some way we can have them notify us as members? I mean, not today, obviously, but if this can even be done. Well, I guess we don't need to do that because this bill is not going to pass anyway, so it's really going to be a moot point. But I remember 2 years ago when the Republicans were in control and we put some issues together, and my good friends on your side of the aisle had a cat saying that this is violating single subject rule. This is the mother of all garbage bills. I would have said probably the father of all garbage bills. But members, this bill's not going anywhere. You don't have the votes to pass it. So I don't know how long we belabor it, but a lot of problems with you're violating the single subject rule. Obviously, it's becoming a huge garbage bill. And I don't think you can sell the bonds with a bill that has all these unrelated issues in it. But I will be researching that. Well, I'm not going to even research that issue because this bill's dead anyway. So thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Okay. With that, somebody's voice.
Mr. Chair, this is Commissioner Franz.
Okay. Commissioner Franz.
Thank you, Chair, Mr. Chair and Representative. I think one of the keys that we have checked with council about amending into bonding bill different issues. I think one of the things that happened several years ago was a tax bill that started out as a tax bill was the idea to amend into that a bonding bill provision. So the key legal question for a bonding bill to get authority to pass, it has to start as a bonding bill, which this bill did, and then amendments can be made into a bonding bill. The critical thing is that this is a bonding bill that we're adding to. It's not another bill that we're adding bonding into. So that's one of the key ingredients to a successful bonding bill from that perspective. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. With that, I don't see any more hands up. And I indicated earlier I'm going to ask Representative Mark Court and Murphy for concluding comments, and then some hands went up. And of course, I was going to recognize Representative Hornstein anyway because he was on hold from before. But with that, Representative Mark Court, did that conclude all of your comments relative to the tax provision?
You want to put this in Samantha?
Yes, Mr. Chair. Yeah, that I'm completed with basically the summary of the bill. But members, we are the only divided legislature in the nation. We have a Republican-controlled Senate and a Democratic-controlled House. And people around the state want to see us get the work done. And I think what has been accomplished here is we have an agreement in this divided legislature between a Republican-controlled Senate and a Democratic-controlled House on a $1.85 billion capital investment bill. And we have an agreement between a Republican Senate and a Democratic House on a tax proportion or provisions in this bill that finally, after years and being a top priority and farm groups and business groups coming forward to say, solve the Section 179 full expensing, we've done that. We have an agreement. And this is what people around the state are looking for, not excuses, but to move forward with compromise, working together, bipartisan fashion. And that's what's been crafted here. And we have a great opportunity, and they don't always come together like this, to get some great investments done for our economy and for creating jobs and for our local units of and for local projects, but also to do a number of things in the tax policy that we've tried to do for years and I know has been a top priority for a lot of members. And Section 179 full expensing, you talk to farmers, you talk to small businesses, they're looking for us to do this. And they don't want excuses. They wanted us to work together in a bipartisan fashion, and that's what's occurred here. And we have an excellent chance right now to really give our economy a boost in these very fragile economic times, and also a way to benefit the quality of life for folks in every corner of the state. And we need that right now. So members, I ask that we pass this today out of Ways and Means, and that we look beyond partisan politics and we look at this bipartisan agreement that's been reached and do what people not only expect us to do, but what people around the state of Minnesota deserve to get. And that's results that will help them around the state as far as creating jobs and helping our economy and their quality of life. So members, I ask for a yes vote.
Thank you, Representative Marquardt. And I'll recognize now Representative Murphy, and then we will be voting on the bill. Representative Murphy.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Thank you for committee members for the input that you've given today. This is a bill that came about because we listened to the people of Minnesota. We heard what the needs were, and we received advice on what we should invest in to make life better for all Minnesotans, for every region of the state and every local project that's proposed. There's a strong bond of people that see a need. We have emergencies in this state. We have needs to put Minnesotans to work. We have to make critical economic investments in order to deliver on the people's expectations of what we can give them. One of the things that we hear the most about in our campaigns for reelection, in our reports to the people of what we've done, is investments in higher education. The University of Minnesota and the Minnesota State System is waiting for this bill, for the investment in HEPR and new buildings and renovations. We are at the highest amount that they have ever achieved. People talked about clean water, wastewater, recycling on every single tour we took. We have the highest investment in clean water and wastewater programs that help every part of the state. We have roads and bridges investment. We have a major bridge in St. Paul that's been put aside and put aside and put aside and put aside and put aside. We are funding it at $52 million. We have a dam in Northwest Minnesota. We are funding at $18 million. We are cannot put some projects aside. Rail separations are killing, would kill people if there was an emergency. The investments for rail separations are high. We are saving lives if we invest in what the Minnesotan people have asked for. We can play politics if we want, but this is a bill that we should not play politics on. We should meet the immediate needs of the people of this state, of the babies and the children and the teenagers and the young adults and the growing families and the senior citizens. All have something in this bill. This is an investment in Minnesota's future. Please vote.
Thank you. The clerk will take the roll.
Mr. Chair, should I renew the motion?
Oh, excuse me. Yes, you should renew the motion.
I renew my motion that House File 3, as amended, be recommended to be placed on the general register.
Any further discussion? Seeing none, the clerk will take the roll.
Representative Carlson?
Aye.
Carlson, aye. Representative Olson?
Aye.
Olson, aye. Representative Garofalo?
No.
Garofalo, no. Representative Albright?
No.
Albright, no. Representative Bernardi?
Aye.
Bernardi, aye. Representative Davids?
No.
Davids, no. Representative Daphne?
Daphne, aye.
Daphne, aye. Representative Drazkowski?
No.
Drazkowski, no. Representative Eklund?
Aye.
Eklund, aye. Representative Hamilton?
No.
Hamilton, no. Representative Hansen?
Hansen, aye.
Hansen, aye. Representative Hausman?
Aye.
Hausman, aye. Representative Hertas?
Hertas, no.
Hertas, no. Representative Hornstein?
Aye.
Hornstein, aye. Representative Kreisha?
Kreisha, no.
Kreisha, no. Representative Liebling?
Liebling, aye.
Liebling, aye. Representative Lilly?
Lilly, aye.
Lilly, aye. Representative Long?
Aye.
Long, aye. Representative Mariani? Mariani, aye. Representative Marquardt?
Marquardt, aye.
Marquardt, aye. Representative Nelson?
Nelson, aye.
Nelson, aye. Representative Noor?
Aye.
Noor, aye. Representative Pawlowski?
Pawlowski, aye.
Pawlowski, aye. Representative Poppy?
Poppy, aye.
Poppy, aye. Representative Schumacher, excused. Representative Scott?
No.
Scott, no. Representative Torkelson?
Torkelson, no.
Torkelson, no. Representative Vogel?
Vogel, no.
Vogel, no. Representative Wagenius?
Aye.
Wagenius, aye. 18 ayes, 10 nays.
The motion prevails, and the bill is on its way to the House floor. So thank you, Representative Marquardt. Of course, you're a member of the committee, so you'll be here for the balance. But thank you, Representative Murphy, the chief author.
Thank you, members.
Mr. Chair?
Mr. Franz, Commissioner Franz, indicated he had an announcement. I'm not sure if he's going to be here until the end or not. Commissioner Franz, did you want to do your announcement now, or are you going to be here for the end of the meeting?
This would be perfect if I could. Thank you, Mr. Chair. just a short announcement about our bond sales. So as most of you know, the state of Minnesota, we have bond sales in August. This year, we proposed two bond sales in August, but those bond sales will be delayed if we don't finish our business here by July 20. So if we try to delay legislative action into July, into August or September, it would delay our bond sales. So, you know, as a matter of past practice, the state of Minnesota sells general obligation bonds every August, and that's in order to raise cash for our ongoing infrastructure projects. These projects were already passed in previous bond sales, but we need to assess every year the cash. And so that's why we go to market in August, is to generate cash for these bonding projects. So this year we're planning two sales. One is for general obligation bonds for cash for ongoing infrastructure projects. And the other one is a bond sale to generate savings from the low interest rates. So it's a refinancing. So we need to do both of these in August. So if the legislature does not finish business and goes into August or September, we would have to delay those sales. You cannot have financial transactions changing your financial pages immediately before a bond sale or during the closing period. So I just want to work closely with you all and make sure that we're on the same page, that it's really important to keep these projects going. We need this cash. We need to sell these bonds. And I just wanted to make sure that you were aware of any delay beyond July 20th really jeopardizes our sale, our projected sales in August. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Commissioner. We now will take up House File 1 by Representative Mariani, Police Reform and Accountability. Representative Mariani, would you like to make a motion?
Mr. Chair, I would. I would move House File 1 be recommended to be placed on the general register.
The motion is before us. If you would like to explain the bill.
Mr. Chair, I think this can go rather quickly. This language is the exact same language that this committee acted on in the last special session, where we passed forward Senate File 104, Senate File 3, and Senate File 1, which were then subsequently put together on the floor of the House in floor action and then sent to the Senate. This is a police accountability, police reform bill, which responds to the police brutality that killed George Floyd on May 25th. It has a rich number of proposals, a strong set of proposals that range over a number of issues related to reforming our systems, as well as direct expressions of Minnesotan values. And very quickly, what they are a prohibition of the use of chokeholds, a duty to intercede and report on the part of individual peace officers, warrior training, prohibition, police residency, reform the ban on local control over residency decisions, reform of the arbitration process, the strengthening of law enforcement citizen oversight councils, a number of provisions strengthening the licensing processes at the Peace Officer Standards and Training Board. There's also a number of provisions having to do with both prosecution and investigation. So this does have the language with the Attorney General nexus for the prosecution of police deadly use of force. Also an investigatory unit at the BCA that would be an independent unit to investigate those wrongful deaths. There is a community-led public safety office and grant program in this bill. There are a number of provisions related to training for peace officers focused on mental health and autism training. There is also an effort to support peace officers through a peer-to-peer counseling program in order to deal with address the stresses that peace officers endure as a part of their work. There's also Restore the Vault provision in here, the cash bail provision in here. In committee last session, we added the Indigenous Women's Task Force, which simply just extended out the date by which they could use the appropriations that we made last year. There's a statute of limitations lifting for wrongful death lawsuits at the hands of a peace officer. Mr. Chair, We are negotiating these provisions. We have been since the last special session through the interim to this special. And even as we speak right now, I was up at 7 this morning having a conversation with our majority leader in the other body, along with the speaker of this body. And I can tell you that the provisions that we're negotiating are not all of these provisions. We are focused on the post-board reform issues, the duty to intercede, the chokehold, the warrior training, residency reform, arbitration reform, investigatory reform, and the training components of peer-to-peer counseling. So there's a number of issues that are off the table in all practical terms, like the cash bail, the restore the vault, the attorney general, et cetera. Just giving you that for context. The cost of this entire package before us, you all have the spreadsheet is $22,680 in the remainder of this biennium, and then $44 million out in tails for the next biennium. What we're negotiating right now is $3,669 for the remainder of this year, or this biennium rather, and then $6,958 for the next biennium. Obviously, we're not going to be voting on that. We're voting on the entire package, but again, I'm just giving a context here. So the point here is not to attempt to draft a bill that reflects all the changes that are being negotiated back and forth, but just to continue with the same shell vehicle that this body has already acted, which then provides us with the proposed legislation that would then formally allow us to continue to negotiate with the Senate. So, Mr. Chair, with that, I would urge support from all members. So it's obviously a very important issue for us to address. It's one that, quite frankly, impacts the life and human rights of human beings, as well as the quality of our public safety system, and also, quite frankly, has a direct impact on our economic well-being, as corporations are already reporting a difficulty in recruiting high-quality candidates to their organizations here in Minnesota if they're attempting to draw from communities of color, frankly, because folks do not have confidence that this is a safe place if you're Black or brown or Asian or some other person of color. So members, I would urge your support and stand for any questions.
Okay. In fact, on that those last few points that you were making, Representative Mariani, I'll reinforce and remind the committee, as I said at the beginning, much of what we would be doing today, some of the issues have been negotiated and agreed to. Other issues are still under negotiation, and those negotiations are going to take place in the days ahead. So one of our goals here today is to get the legislation up on the House floor so we're in a position to adopt the results of those final negotiations in the days ahead. So, Representative Mariani, as you point out, this bill is a good example of that, as was the first bill that was up earlier, and the capital investment bill discussions, as we know, are going to continue on that one as well. So, any discussion on the bill? Representative Garofalo. You're muted.
There we go. You shouldn't say anything. I just would have talked the whole time and you could have nodded your head and spared the pain of hearing my voice.
Well, we enjoy hearing from you from time to time.
Just time to time, though, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, Representative Mariani, and you've mentioned that you've got ongoing negotiations in this matter. There are fiscal costs with this bill. Is the way to pay for these things, is that part of the negotiations as well?
Representative Mariani.
Mr. Chair and Representative Garofalo, the Speaker and Majority Leader are having those conversations as we speak.
Okay, so Mr. Chairman and Representative Mariani, by that do you mean Speaker Hartman and Majority Leader Gazelka?
Mr. Chair, Representative Gazelka. Yes, and in fact, I can tell you that both bodies have put issues on the table for the negotiation that involve costs, both bodies.
Okay. Mr. Chairman and Representative Mary, my chief concern, again, putting aside the individual items of this bill, is that we are paying for things, and I haven't seen bills moving through our process. I'm not aware of any negotiations of how we're paying for this stuff. So that was the purpose of my question. Mr. Chairman and Representative Mariani, I'll be voting no on your bill today. The fiscal costs are one of them. But I do know that Representative Mariani, you and I have known each other a long time. Your heart is in the right place with this. You're trying to do the right thing. And I do wish you good luck in achieving compromise on this bill before the end of next week. So, but I'll be voting no today. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Representative Garofalo. Any further discussion? Seeing none, Representative Mariani, would you care to renew your motion?
Chair, I would renew my motion that House File 1 be recommended to be placed on the general register.
Okay, the motion is before us. Any further discussion? Ms. Parkman, do you want to take the roll?
Representative Carlson?
Aye.
Carlson, aye. Representative Olson?
Aye.
Olson, aye. Representative Garofalo?
No.
Garofalo, no. Representative Albright?
No.
Albright, no. Representative Bernardi? Aye. Bernardi, aye. Representative Davids?
No.
Davids, no. Representative Dabney?
Dabney, aye.
Dabney, aye. Representative Drazkowski?
No.
Drazkowski, no. Representative Eklund?
Eklund, aye.
Eklund, aye. Representative Hamilton?
No.
Hamilton, no. Representative Hansen?
Hansen, aye.
Hansen, aye. Representative Hausman?
Aye.
Hausman, aye. Representative Hertaus?
Hertaus, no.
Hertaus, no. Representative Hornstein?
Hornstein, aye.
Hornstein, aye. Representative Kreisha?
Kreisha, no.
Kreisha, no. Representative Liebling?
Liebling, aye.
Liebling, aye. Representative Lilly?
Lilly, aye.
Lilly, aye. Representative Long?
Aye.
Long, aye. Representative Mariani?
Mariani, aye.
Mariani, aye. Representative Marquardt?
Marquardt, no.
Marquardt, no. Representative Nelson?
Nelson, aye.
Nelson, aye. Representative Noor?
Noor, aye.
Noor, aye. Representative Pawlowski?
Pawlowski, aye.
Pawlowski, aye. Representative Poppy?
Poppy, aye.
Poppy, aye. Representative Schumacher, excused. Representative Scott?
No.
Scott, no. Representative Torkelson?
Torkelson, no.
Torkelson, no. Representative Vogel?
No.
Vogel, no. Representative Wagenius?
Yes.
Wagenius, aye. 17 ayes, 11 nays.
Motion prevails. The bill is on its way to the House floor. Thank you, Representative Mariani. We now have two bills by Representative Liebling, House File 35. Representative Liebling, would you care to make a motion?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chair. I move that House File 35 be recommended to be placed on the general register.
Okay, the motion is before us. If you'd care to explain the bill, it deals with dental providers, so...
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chair. So this is the bill that the Senate passed a very similar bill at the end of the last special session, and I have continued working with Senator Benson. This is a product of our work together on an issue that has otherwise been overlooked during the pandemic, and that is that our Medicaid dental providers are having to buy PPE that is in short supply, that is expensive, and that the rates we pay them for their care of our Medicaid patients are really very low. So what this bill does is appropriates $5 million from the Coronavirus Relief Fund, and through a formula, it distributes that money up to $10 per visit with an MA patient to give the dentists an opportunity to cover the costs of their PPE that's been so important in the pandemic. I mean, if you can imagine the exposure of dentists and hygienists and so on to the virus is tremendous because, you know, when they're working in someone's mouth. So this is really critical. They can't do the work without it. We want to make sure our Medicaid patients continue. And I don't know of any legislative opposition to this bill, so I would ask for your support.
Okay, thank you. Representative Garofalo.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Thank you, Representative Liebling, for bringing this bill forward. This is a good bill, and I would encourage members to support it. Thank you.
Okay, any further discussion? Representative Liebling, would you care to renew your motion?
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chair. I renew my motion that House File 35 be recommended to be placed on the general register.
Okay, any further discussion? Seeing none, Ms. Parkman, would you take the roll?
Representative Carlson?
Aye.
Carlson, aye. Representative Olson?
Aye.
Olson, aye. Representative Garofalo?
Aye.
Garofalo, aye. Representative Albright?
Aye.
Albright, aye. Representative Bernardi?
Aye.
Bernardi, aye. Representative Davids?
Aye.
Davids, aye. Representative Dabney?
Dabney, aye.
Dabney, aye. Representative Drazkowski?
Aye.
Drazkowski, aye. Representative Eklund? Representative Eklund?
Eklund, aye.
Eklund, aye. Representative Hamilton?
Hamilton, aye.
Hamilton, aye. Representative Hansen?
Hansen, aye.
Hansen, aye. Representative Hausman?
Aye.
Hausman, aye. Representative Hertaus?
Hertaus, aye.
Hertaus, aye. Representative Hornstein?
Hornstein, aye.
Hornstein, aye. Representative Kreisha?
Kreisha, aye.
Kreisha, aye. Representative Liebling?
Liebling, aye.
Liebling, aye. Representative Lilly?
Lilly, aye.
Lilly, aye. Representative Long?
Aye.
Long, aye. Representative Mariani?
Mariani, aye.
Mariani, aye. Representative Marquardt?
Marquardt, aye.
Marquardt, aye. Representative Nelson?
Nelson, aye.
Nelson, aye. Representative Noor?
Noor, aye.
Noor, aye. Yes. Representative Pawlowski?
Oh, no, I guess.
Pawlowski, aye.
Pawlowski, aye. Representative Poppy?
Poppy, aye.
Poppy, aye. Representative Schumacher, excused. Representative Scott?
Aye.
Scott, aye. Representative Torkelson?
Torkelson, aye.
Torkelson, aye. Representative Vogel?
Aye.
Vogel, aye. Representative Wagenius?
Aye.
Wagenius, aye. 28 ayes, 0 nays.
Okay, the motion prevails. The bill is on its way. With that, Representative Liebling, you have the next bill as well, House File 34, dealing with economic assistance waiver extension. So, Representative Liebling, would you care to make a motion?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chair. So I would move that House File 34 be placed on the general register. And I can explain this briefly, Mr. Chair. So this is
if you'd care to explain the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So we last special session, we passed House File 105, which extended some of the waivers that DHS had put in place during the pandemic. This is another one of those waivers. It was bottom line is it didn't get agreement in time to be included in that bill, but it is broadly supported, I understand. And in fact, I think that this already passed the Senate yesterday, I believe, tacked on to another bill. So it's quite possible that House File 34 will be more in the nature of a vehicle bill because the language is already moving elsewhere. But this is just a very simple waiver that allows the counties to use remote interviews for people who are applying for the Minnesota Family Investment Program, although they do need to have electronic signatures for enrollment verification, but it doesn't change any other standards for the program, anything like that. It's just allowing during the pandemic for this remote interviewing to take place. So that's it, Mr. Chair, unless there are any questions.
Okay, any discussion? Representative Grafflo.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The representative labeling bill is a good bill. It provides more flexibility to our counties until the middle of next year, and I would encourage members to vote for it. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Any further discussion? Representative labeling, would you care to renew your motion?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I renew my motion that House Bill 34 be recommended to be placed on the general register.
Okay, the motion is before us. Any further discussion? Seeing none, Ms. Parkman, would you take the roll?
Representative Carlson?
Aye.
Carlson, aye. Representative Olson?
Aye.
Olson, aye. Representative Garofalo?
Aye.
Garofalo, aye. Representative Albright?
Aye.
Albright, aye. Representative Bernardi?
Aye.
Bernardi, aye. Representative Davids? Representative Davids, aye. Representative Dabney?
Aye.
Dabney, aye. Representative Drazkowski?
No.
Drazkowski, no. Representative Eklund?
Eklund, aye.
Eklund, aye. Representative Hamilton?
Hamilton, aye.
Hamilton, aye. Representative Hansen?
Hansen, aye.
Hansen, aye. Representative Hausman?
Aye.
Hausman, aye. Representative Hertaus?
Hertaus, aye.
Hertaus, aye. Representative Hornstein?
Hornstein, aye.
Hornstein, aye. Representative Kreisha?
Kreisha, aye.
Kreisha, aye. Representative Liebling?
Liebling, aye.
Liebling, aye. Representative Lilly?
Lilly, aye.
Lilly, aye. Representative Long?
Aye.
Long, aye. Representative Mariani?
Mariani, aye.
Mariani, aye. Representative Marquardt?
Marquardt, aye.
Marquardt, aye. Representative Nelson?
Nelson, aye.
Nelson, aye. Representative Noor?
Noor, aye.
Noor, aye. Representative Pawlowski?
Pawlowski, aye.
Pawlowski, aye. Representative Poppy?
Poppy, aye.
Poppy, aye. Representative Schumacher, excused. Representative Scott?
Aye.
Scott, aye. Representative Torkelson?
Torkelson, aye.
Torkelson, aye. Representative Vogel?
Aye.
Vogel, aye. Representative Wagenius?
Aye.
Wagenius, aye. 27 ayes, 1 nay.
Okay, motion prevails. The bill is passed and will be placed on the general register. So thank you, Representative Liebling. We now have House File 33 by Representative Cantrell, Disability Service Retainer, Payments, and Other Grants. Let's see, Representative Olson, would you care to make a motion to put the bill before us?
Yes, Mr. Chair. I move that House File 33 be recommended to be placed on the general register.
Okay, the motion is before us. The author also has an amendment, Representative Olson.
Yes, Mr. Chair, I also move the A2 amendment for the author.
Okay, the A2 amendment is for us. Representative Cantrell, if you'd care to explain the amendment.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Members of the committee, I appreciate the opportunity to present House File 33 before you today. So the amendment puts the bill in line with what was passed by the Senate yesterday. So this is the byproduct of a lot of extensive negotiation and work with our counterparts in the Senate. And I'm thankful to Chair Liebling and Chair Schultz for all their work on this as well. What this amendment does essentially is, as I said, puts us in line with what the Senate passed, but
It creates a grant program to help to stabilize disability service providers in Minnesota who have been affected by reduced revenue from being unable to provide services to folks with disabilities in Minnesota over the course of the pandemic. But then it also has a public health grant portion as well that will help to empower our disability service providers to adapt to the new way that or to the innovative way that services will have to be delivered for the foreseeable future to ensure that Minnesotans with disabilities are supported and that our disability service provider infrastructure remains as solvent as possible during this time. So with that, Mr. Chair, I will take any questions.
Okay, any discussion of the amendment? Representative Grafflo.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Representative Cantrell, the fund referenced here, these are the federal funds, correct?
Representative Cantrell.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative Grafflo, that is correct.
Thank you.
Okay, any further discussion on the amendment? Seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Motion carried. We now have the bill before us as amended. Any further discussion? Representative Albright.
Thank you, Madam or Mr. Chair. And Representative Cantrell, thank you for bringing this bill forward. I know that this has been a difficult struggle for a lot of the disability providers across the state. And so I would urge all members to vote green on this bill. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Representative Albright. Any further discussion on the bill as amended? Seeing none, Representative Olson, would you care to renew?
Yeah, I renew my motion that House File 33, as amended, be recommended to be placed on the general register.
Okay, the motion is before us. Any further discussion? Seeing none, Ms. Barkman, would you take the roll?
Representative Carlson.
Aye.
Carlson, aye. Representative Olson.
Aye.
Olson, aye. Representative Garofalo.
Aye.
Garofalo, aye. Representative Albright.
Aye.
Albright, aye. Representative Bernardi.
Bernardi, aye.
Bernardi, aye. Representative Davids.
Aye.
Davids, aye.
Aye.
Representative Davney.
Aye.
Davney, aye. Representative Drazkowski.
Aye.
Drazkowski, aye. Representative Eklund.
Eklund, aye.
Eklund, aye. Representative Hamilton.
Hamilton, aye.
Hamilton, aye. Representative Hansen.
Hansen, aye.
Hansen, aye. Representative Hausman.
Aye.
Hausman, aye. Representative Hertas.
Hertas, aye.
Hertas, aye. Representative Hornstein.
Hornstein, aye.
Hornstein, aye. Representative Kreisha.
Kreisha, aye.
Kreisha, aye. Representative Liebling.
Liebling, aye.
Liebling, aye. Representative Lilly.
Sorry, Lilly, aye.
Lilly, aye. Representative Long.
Aye.
Long, aye. Representative Mariani.
Mariani, aye.
Mariani, aye. Representative Marquardt.
Marquardt, aye.
Marquardt, aye. Representative Nelson.
Nelson, aye.
Nelson, aye. Representative Noor.
Noor, aye.
Noor, aye. Representative Pawlowski.
Pawlowski, aye.
Pawlowski, aye. Representative Poppy.
Poppy, aye.
Poppy, aye. Representative Schumacher, excused. Representative Scott.
Aye.
Scott, aye. Representative Torkelson.
Torkelson, aye.
Torkelson, aye. Representative Vogel.
Aye.
Vogel, aye. Representative Wagenius.
Aye.
Wagenius, aye. 28 ayes, 0 nays.
Okay, the motion prevails, and the bill is on its way to the general register. Thank you, Representative Cantrell.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members.
And it's now 10:33. My goal was to adjourn by 10:30 so that everything could be done. You can't do much better than 3 minutes overtime. So I would like to thank everyone. We had a lot of people on today, members, House staff, commissioners. So really appreciate everybody's involvement. And with that, meeting adjourned.